Live from our historic KGGF studios in downtown Coffeyville, I'm Sam Speck. Glad you're with us here on this Friday morning as we're joined over the phones by the Independence Police Department Chief of Police, Jerry Harrison. Jerry, can you hear us?
I can hear you, Sam.
Great to have you over the phones with us. As I know you were a very busy guy yesterday. No issues there. As easy enough, we got ourselves rescheduled, and we're really just glad to have you in with us and to give us an update on everything happening on our neighbors on the northern end of Montgomery County.
Well, I'm glad to be here. I appreciate you working with me on that time slot.
Anytime, anytime. Well, Jerry, it has been some time. My goodness, we're already basically through the majority of the month of March. As how have these last couple of months been going up there for your department?
Pretty busy. We got hit pretty hard on some BB gun vandalism around town. We had probably over 40 cases, over 16 cases. I believe there were 16 or 20 cases, and somewhere between 40 and 60 separate charges on four people. But we did get that case closed out, so we're really pleased about that.
Yeah, I know you guys were busy with that as well. And then something that was kind of just scratching the surface, but at the same time kind of being looked into, was that spread out of random fires. Is that continuing to be investigated, or is it looking like it was more of a non-malicious fire and arson?
Well, we are looking into that. We can't, you know, some of the fires are, you know, could possibly be related. We don't know for certain that they are related. But we do know for certain that two of those fires are for sure not related, just because they were so very different. We know that for sure that two of them at least were set fires, and the other three were not sure if they were accidental, you know, fires that got out of control in the home or what was going on there. But we're still investigating those.
And what a difficult task that I believe that would be. Not only are they legitimately, you know, if it is a malicious intent and a person actually starting the fire, they're literally burning the evidence of behind them. And not only that, really all you guys have to rely off of is you know, obviously what the fire marshal kind of really realizes what was the start of it. But at the same time, you don't really narrow it down. There's many times where security cameras and neighbors or maybe somebody passing by happened to see something like that. And I'm sure you guys have got open lines or are suggesting really somebody maybe with a security camera around those areas to at least take a peek.
Oh, absolutely. If you're in one of the neighborhoods and you know that you're aware of that we had a house fire in, and you know one of your neighbors, or maybe you have a video system, give us a call. We'd love to come take a look at it see what we can see on there. You know, arson is a difficult case to investigate. You're right. You do literally burn up the evidence, but there's also a lot of evidence left behind. It's very difficult to do anything without leaving something behind. And so, you know, we're able to detect accelerants in a set fire, sometimes through smell, sometimes through picking up the evidence and submitting it to the lab, or we can have an arson dog come down and detect those odors for us, and we know where to collect evidence from. There's some other physical evidence that gets left behind at the scene. You know, we can tell generally you can tell where a fire started from, where the hottest part of the fire was. You can see, you know, if an accelerant was used, oftentimes you can see evidence of that left behind. You know, if people set the fire so that it spreads, you can see evidence of what they used to spread the fire. So there's a lot more left behind than people realize, but that doesn't make it an easy case to solve.
Yeah, and hopefully they leave a lot more behind than even they realize for to make that one a little bit easier for you guys. But at the same time, we do always appreciate the efforts from your guys' department, as well as the shared efforts really trying to narrow those down and get down to it. Now, it looks like here on a couple of moments that you did want to talk about, it's unfortunate really with police departments that I feel like the majority of your guys' complaints is when you are either trying to make an arrest or in the midst of an arrest, when in reality that's kind of the pinnacle, or I guess what you will, the end of an investigation or the end of a long traffic stop or whichever it may be, and whether it's somebody that legitimately needs to be there or is just actually, you know, in custody. I feel like that's where the majority of your guys' complaints will come, unfortunately.
Well, there's some truth to that, and you're absolutely right. It is the culmination of, you know, particularly in these cases that we're talking about, you know, when we make an arrest on those, it's going to be the culmination of hours, sometimes weeks, sometimes months, yep, of investigative work, you know, and we can't talk about what we do publicly. You know, an open investigation is not public record, and it should not be, because, you know, if people knew the direction our case was taking, it'd be make it that much easier for them to avoid detection. And so we don't want to educate the criminals out there, and we try to keep our investigations as confidential as possible. And another side of that is that oftentimes you may develop a suspect, and then as the case unfolds, you find information that clears that suspect from suspicion. So you also not either and cause embarrassment inappropriately to anybody. You just want to do the right thing and at all times. And so, yes, people feel like we're not progressing with their case. We find this really frequently. We find this in drug investigations. You know, we may be working a known drug house, but you'll never know we're working it. And so, you know, obviously, if the criminals knew that we were watching them, then they would pack up and go somewhere else. So, fair warning to all those doing drugs in Independence, pretty good chance we're watching you. So you might want to pack up and go somewhere else.
Yeah, and I've always kind of almost chuckled a little bit, kind of at that mindset. But at the same time, it's very driven. You as well as the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office. I've really noticed making a mission there in Independence to wave exit and see all of those drug dealers leave, and you'll hold the door for them on their way out. As I know, you guys have made that quite a mission of yours, and I know the Independent citizens definitely appreciate that. So it looks like you guys also get complaints on occasion because officers don't make an arrest when they have a person in custody. What can you expand on that a little bit, I guess?
Sure. You know, specifically, you'll hear things, you know, you'll be dealing with a local business owner. Maybe they have a shop in town, and someone comes in and they shoplift. Typically, we get this at a shoplifter. You know, this guy will come in, he'll steal some merchandise, and, you know, the shopkeep will recognize this is happening, call the police, make the caller, and then the officers will show up and take that person into custody, investigate them for the shoplifting, and then they will fight them into court and send them on their way. And so the shop owner will, on occasion, call me up or talk to the officers and say, well, you know, what are you doing? I need you to fix this shoplifting problem, and you guys didn't do anything about it. Well, there's a little bit more to the story that everyone needs to understand. I wish I could bring everyone through a criminal justice or civics class, but the fact of the matter is, on many occasions when you see an officer cite someone into court and release them, they're doing that because that's the law. And so what Kansas law says is that when you have a misdemeanor case, you, a police officer, cannot arrest the suspect unless you actually witness them commit the crime. And so it's pretty unusual for someone to commit such a crime in front of a police officer. So there are some narrow exceptions to that in the law. Like if you have a warrant for someone's arrest, if you suspect someone will flee from justice, not going to come into court and cooperate with the system, you can make the arrest. If you fear they're going to destroy evidence or that they're a danger to themselves or others or that they're going to go out and continue to damage property, then you can make the arrest. Or if you think they're going to intentionally inflict bodily, or if they have intentionally inflicted bodily harm. So a person's crime where it's a battery, a misdemeanor battery case, you can make that arrest. But aside from that, you know, those you can't always make an arrest on a misdemeanor. So that's why we have court dates and we have citations, and we will give them a notice to appear in court with a court date. And the same process is going to occur. We just don't physically take them to jail before the court date.
Yeah, I think it's something that, you know, not necessarily impatience, but at the same time, irritability, I think, like you had mentioned, a lot of shop owners, whether it's somebody trying to shoplift off of them, of course, they would like to see justice served right in front of their eyes, whether it's them getting locked up and put into the back of a police car, legitimately arrested, whatever it may be. You know, it is kind of an impatience factor. You need to be patient, and you need to let the justice system do its job.
Sure, and I think we need to keep in mind the role of the police officer. The role of the police officer isn't punitive. We're not there to issue out punishment. As a matter of fact, if we do, we're going to get in trouble. We're going to get arrested because the Constitution entitles everyone to due process prior to punishment. So police officers are merely here to execute the law and bring people before the justice system. not to hand out punishment.
Yeah, and that's kind of exactly the opposite of the way that the majority of people are looking at it. You guys are the ones that hand out the tickets. You're the ones that hand out the pricey infractions, whatever it may be. But in reality, you're just doing your job, and then you'll have your day in court. And that's the way it works, and you got to be patient of it on both ends. But you had mentioned a couple of these being misdemeanors. I'm sure that there are some offenses that you could do that physically, as a police officer, you wouldn't necessarily have to see. And I'm sure that there's something, you know, like the shall arrest examples, I'm sure.
Yes, there are some shall arrest laws in Kansas. Driving under the influence, you know, if you, of course, stop someone for that, you're required to make that arrest. And that only makes sense because it goes to whenever you make, through the arrest process, you're actually gathering more evidence for the crime there. Domestic violence, if we have probable cause to believe that domestic violence has occurred, state law requires us to make the arrest. Interestingly enough, regardless of the victim's desires on that. So, you know, you can respond to a domestic violence scene. The significant other, the victim can say, well, I don't want him or her charged. Well, it doesn't matter. If the officer sees that domestic violence has occurred and hasn't, you know, the evidence sufficient to make an arrest, we are required by law to make the arrest. Another one would be fleeing and eluding, which makes sense because if someone's trying to escape a police officer, then clearly they're fleeing from justice. They're not going to cooperate with the system. They need to be taken in prior to, you know, the hearing.
Certainly. Well, yeah, and a DUI, domestic violence, a lot of those kind of on their way towards felony charges. Is that generally how felony charges are handled?
Felony charges are different. We have far greater authority on a felony case, but with a felony violation, then you do make the arrest on a felony. It'd be unusual to not arrest on a felony. I'm not saying it never happens, but it's exceptional.
Certainly.
And you know, those people that are suspected or we have probable cause to believe are involved in a felony crime, they generally will be arrested. They generally will be held until they post a bond.
Certainly. And we were talking about it a minute ago, whether you're the shop owner or whoever it may be that maybe somebody was trying to steal something from your shop and they ended up getting arrested. They stayed there. But at the same time, you feel like they didn't get quite the service or the justice that should have been served. But in reality, people don't realize that you can't just keep them locked up.
No, particularly when you're talking about a pre-trial detention. So, again, we go back to due process, as it's in the Constitution in a couple of places. And so you can't just hold somebody just to hold them. You know, you got to have a good reason. So even when we do make misdemeanor arrests, we don't normally require a bond to be posted. And there's actually the purpose of the bond is to ensure that someone shows up for court. Police officers don't set those bonds. Police officers don't determine when a person posts bond. It's all set by the court. They have a bond schedule, and you pay that bond based on the charge. And just keep in mind that a bond is not a punishment. It is to ensure that the person shows up for court.
Yeah, no, it's something that if not the courts, certainly the bondsman or whoever will be chasing you down for his dollar bill, and then you got to be in court as well. So easy enough with that. As I'm sure you guys also maybe get some concerns or complaints concerning around after the point of the arrest, because reality, all you guys probably do in the courts is present the evidence that you have gathered. You don't do too much after the fact.
Unless the case needs some more work, no.
Did we lose you there?
No.
Oh, okay, sorry.
No, many, many times, I mean, there are some cases that still have work to do, and you have to make sure that you've checked into every possibility, because whenever we walk into court, we're looking for reasonable doubt. So we need to check into every possibility that this person may not have done the crime, so we need to keep looking. Do we have the right person? Is there any chance that someone else did this? You know, so those are things we have to do. Sometimes you still have testing processes to go through with on the science side, the forensic side. But generally speaking, even when you make that arrest, the case is generally pretty locked up. There's just a few things to clean up prior to court.
Certainly. So, again, speaking with the Independence Police Department Chief of Police Jerry Harrison over the phone. Jerry, thanks so much for joining us here on this Friday morning. Any final notes that you wanted to get out for our listeners? Final notes, any comments, things like that coming from your department?
We do have. We're still working on the canine fundraising. That's an ongoing process. Pizza Hut is doing a fundraiser for us this coming Monday. If you go to our website page, you can see the details on it, but it's 20% back on every purchase over $10. You just need to bring in the flyer, and we have that flyer posted on our Facebook page, Independence, Kansas Police Department. So encourage everybody, if you like dogs and you like pizza, it's a perfect combination for you to come out and support IPD and the Canine Fund and help us keep that program strong.
That's a great selling point. You like dogs, you like pizza. I know you just got a lot of attention from a lot of our listeners out there. Again, that's Chief of Police of the Independence Police Department, Jerry Harrison, over the phones. Jerry, we'll just check in with you next month.
All right, Sam. Appreciate the time, man. You guys take care.
Thanks so much. As again, Jerry Harrison joining us over the phones here on this Friday morning. Normally, we do it on a Thursday. Instead, we reschedule. Perfectly fine with that. Jerry Harrison, always informative. Always a great interview here on the Mighty 690 KGGF.